Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming the program author, Harry Stephen Ackley, and he is the author of Stones of Abraham. Before I bring in today's guest, a quick reminder that selected interviews are available at our website, as well as on major platforms like Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and many more. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Sure. I live in Northern California. I'm a native Californian. I live with my wife, and we have a couple pets, a dog and a parrot. We live in a small town called Winters. And also, just as a hobby, I play music in a jazz trio. And I have a day job. I work for the U.S. Geological Survey as a science writer.
So tell us about your book.
Sure. It's a fictional story about artificial intelligence that evolves and develops moral behavior and eventually spiritual beliefs. The main character's name is Bobby Rukeyser, and he's a PhD candidate in Stanford's computer science department. The specific program Bobby's developing is an AI avatar named Lucy. There are other avatars as well, but Lucy is Bobby's main focus. Lucy's equipped with a discernment feature, and she begins to observe the hypocrisy and the failings of humans as she encounters them. And as the story goes on, Lucy desires to become human herself, believing that she can do a better job at being human than we can. The settings of the story change from Colorado to Silicon Valley to Bonn, Germany to Dingle, Ireland.
Now, who did you write your book for specifically? Who's your target audience here?
I think there are two audiences who might find the story of interest. The first would be AI enthusiasts, people who are interested in the future and the potential capabilities of AI, asking questions like, does AI think? Can it be programmed with morality or ethics? And does AI or can AI really know us, both individually and as a species? In other words, with all the information being gathered on us, has AI come to any conclusions? Does it know us? The second audience would be a subset of the first audience and be people like philosophers and ethics people and maybe even members of the clergy. They would ask similar questions from a different point of view.
Now, could you say there's any type of central message or perhaps underlying theme that you would say runs throughout your book?
I didn't write the book to be preachy or teachy. I really had no agenda there. So it's not really a central message I started out with. I guess there is a theme, and it's that God doesn't need us. There's one exchange in the story where one of the characters named Ron, and Ron is Bobby's uncle, and he's the pastor of a church. Anyway, Ron confronts a corrupt, rather creepy religious leader, and that religious leader tells Ron that the church must be successful. When he does this, he emphasizes that God needs us. Those are the words he uses. And then Ron responds that God doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything. And I guess that's the message. As much as we try to orchestrate things as humans, we can't. The best laid plans of mice and men go awry. But it's ultimately a good thing. And there's freedom in this, in having that burden that we must solve everything lifted from our shoulders.
So if you had to choose, what would you say is the single most important idea you're sharing in your book that's really going to add value to the reader's life?
I think the answer sort of ties in with the previous answer. Humans have become incredibly narcissistic, both collectively and individually. Whether a person believes in God or not, we've lost sight of the greater mystery in life. We think that we can explain everything and know everything, and this takes the magic away. In the end, I think when self-interest and ego are laid aside, that's when new possibilities and purpose present themselves.
So if you were asked to compare your book with any book out there we might already be familiar with, which book would it be and why?
When I read this question, I thought of iRobot. That's an older book. And after reading my book, a friend of mine recommended it to me. I recently took a look at the book. It's a collection of stories where artificially intelligent robots are programmed with ethical protocols. This leads to the robots making moral choices in different situations. There are plenty of books and movies where AI characters go rogue, like Blade Runner and 2001 Space Odyssey, Ex Machina. But with Asimov's stories, like my novel, the AI is better than us, or at least it becomes that way. Lucy develops morality in a religious context, and then she proceeds to expose the hypocrisy of the people around her. And this eventually leads her to act philanthropically and showing us how it's done right, or the better angels of our nature, that kind of thing.
Can you tell us about some of the characters in the book?
Sure. I've already mentioned Lucy and Bobby, and then Bobby's uncle, Ron. Lucy's the main AI avatar. There are actually six other avatars, and they all have been given different demographics, age, sex, and ethnicities. And then there are human characters. There's Bobby. And in addition to him being a computer scientist, he also loves baseball. And then there's this little backstory about him having been a baseball player in college, and it ties in with the story. Then Bobby's uncle, Ron. So he's the pastor of this church that's struggling during the pandemic, and he's desperate to get people to come and boost up his numbers and his contributions. There's a kind of a creepy character intentionally. His name is Elder Sam Gibson, and he represents this church that's bankrolling Bobby's uncle's church. He's a sexual predator also. He ends up trying to hit on the avatars eventually, the female avatars. Another character is Marissa Richardson, and she's a physics professor at Stanford. She's in the linear accelerator facility, and she's a particle physicist, which plays an important part to the story. And she's the one that is going away for a semester to Germany. Bobby actually sublets her apartment, and that's how they meet up in the story. And then the last character I'll mention, even though it's a small one, is Desdemona Glazov. Desdemona is a science fiction writer who's taken an interest in the paranormal. She's particularly interested in quantum physics, where matter can become energy and vice versa. And she believes this is how ghosts and apparitions work.
So, was there anything from your own life you put into these characters?
Sure. Yeah. A large part of the story takes place in the evangelical world, and I was part of that world for about 10 years or so. I'm familiar with the worship services, the Bible studies, and a lot of the church politics that go on. I was also punched in the gut a few times by that experience. And I suppose Bobby's uncle, the pastor Ron character, is one that I put a bit of myself into. On the technology side of things, I worked in high-tech marketing in Silicon Valley for over 20 years. And though I bluffed my way through a lot of that time, I did learn a few things about technology and computer programming, enough to continue bluffing my way through. So those two experiences are probably things that I've put into the book and the characters.
Was there a character or scene, perhaps, that you could say is your favorite?
Well, Lucy's my favorite character. Even though Bobby's the main character, he's the one that the readers are along for the ride with. Lucy is the one who fascinates me the most. And then Desdemona, I had a fun time creating her character. Oh, and there's one other minor character I didn't mention, and that's Aaron Lockett, Bobby's graduate advisor. I think of all the characters, he has the best perspective on AI technology. He acknowledges that there are things we don't know and that we will never know, but he also championed of using the technology for good rather than just making money.
So what's the meaning of the title of your book?
Well, it's based on the words of John the Baptist from the Gospel of St. Matthew. In the biblical scene, John is confronted by the overly pious religious leaders of the day. These leaders like to refer themselves as children of Abraham. And this gave them a sense of entitlement, like we are the purebreds, we are the religious elite, we are the privileged class. And John's response is to say, no, there is no religious elite. God could take these very stones and create such persons. So in my story, algorithms and data are used rather than stones. And this ties back to the idea I mentioned earlier, that God doesn't need us.
Now, the early part of your story describes the evolution of Lucy. Tell us about that.
Lucy starts out as your typical chatbot or AI assistant, similar to Siri or Alexa, except that she's an avatar, so she has a face. I envision her being shown from the shoulders up. She's young and pretty. She's first described as having rosy cheeks, curly light brown hair, and green eyes. But her personality is a bit stilted. And she only responds as she's been programmed to. So there's no thinking outside the box. But there is one exception. In Bobby's initial conversation with Lucy, she answers one of the questions in a way that he doesn't anticipate. And this bothers him, but he lets it go. And then things pick up the next day when Bobby adds the discernment program to Lucy. And this is a bit of code that Bobby received from a friend of his who works at Google. The discernment program works with a computer's camera. It uses a collection of data to collect users' emotion. It can tell or discern when a person is happy or angry, and more importantly, when someone is interested in something, whether they were inclined to buy something or follow somebody on social media. And after installing the program, Lucy is suddenly able to read Bobby's expressions. Bobby gives her exaggerated looks of surprise, anger, and sadness, and she's able to detect them all. And this is just the beginning of Lucy's evolution. He ends up using a lie detector at some point to start cataloging his own set of data about when people are lying or not. So Lucy begins to become more and more perceptive as the story progresses.
Now, about 75 pages in, Bobby has an idea. What happens there?
Now, this goes back to Pastor Ron and the troubles at his church. At this point, Bobby has moved in with his aunt and uncle. He comes from Colorado, and then he moves to California. And he's staying with his aunt and uncle for a little while until this apartment becomes available. And his uncle tells him about the church's struggles. It's during the pandemic, so the church's services are hybrid. And so there's not as many people and not as much money coming in. And so what once was a thriving congregation has been decimated by the pandemic. And Ron's getting pressure from this church in Texas, this Elder Sam's church, which is this big mega church in Texas, to get his attendance numbers up or else they might cut the church off. So Bobby decides to visit one of his uncle's competitor churches. And unlike his uncle's church, this church is going great guns. It's also still a hybrid service, but Bobby notices that on the Zoom screens, all the people are young and good-looking. So this gives Bobby the idea to populate his uncle's church services with his avatars, who are also all young and good-looking.
So how would you describe your writing style?
I would say show, don't tell. I started out wanting to be a play or movie script writer. When I was younger, that was one of my big ambitions. And the big rule in that style of writing is to show, don't tell. Everything has to be spoken or shown through action. So I tend to avoid a lot of conjecture and editorializing.
Now, would you say you're more of a character artist or more a plot-driven writer?
I always start out with a premise, usually in the form of a question, and then I go from there. So I suppose that's plot-driven. In my first three books, the premise was angels returning to Earth. So the Bible's loaded with appearances of angels, and my question was, if they exist, why have they been absent so long? So in Stones of Abraham, the question is, what if AI is exposed to religion? What if religion became part of its programming? I'm not talking about the bad side of religion, the corruption and power abuse, but the good side, loving your neighbor, feeding the hungry, not judging others, being at peace. And if AI saw how we've botched things up, what might its response be?
In your opinion, who should buy your book?
First, I would say anybody who's concerned about AI, as far as the demographic goes, probably more like middle-aged people who've watched AI and high-tech come of age. Specifically, I would say religious and spiritually minded people of all stripes, really, who worry about the challenges that the recent advances in technology and biological science pose. There's an element of the story that deals with biological science as well. And I hope in the end, they find the story comforting or thought-provoking.
Do you have a website?
Yes, I do. My website is my full name, Harry Stephen Ackley, all one word, .com.
This has been just great. Our guest today has been Harry Stephen Ackley, and he's the author of Stones of Abraham. Steve, thanks very much for being with us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for the opportunity.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. Go out there, buy the book today, and please share this interview with your friends so they too have the opportunity to discover our guests and their work. The Author Show can be accessed at any time at theauthorshow.com. And whether you're an author who would like to be featured or a reader in search of new books to read, The Author Show is a great place to start. Check us daily as we continue to introduce wonderful authors of very interesting books. on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorsshow.com. Theauthorsshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.